Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
I'm learning the words, you guys. What's up? So good to be back here for episode 9, Uninvited Guest. Very, very fitting. I'm your host, Stacey Eich, and I'm so excited to be with you guys. I have my phone ready and charged, so make sure you tweet me at OneTakeStace during the show. Make sure you give us 5 stars, rate us, check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. We're all around the map. And I would love to introduce my very dapper co-host today. How are we?
I'm doing very well. I've only recently learned I've been underdressed for these after shows. Entire time. The suit
you look
is
great.
Thank you.
This
suit is courtesy really of snapsuits.com.
Nice. Yes. Oh my God. Well, I am extremely underdressed today, so I will do better for the season finale next episode. But anyway, let's jump right in. Uninvited guests. I love this. AKA, I feel like there were a couple uninvited guests. Sometimes I see Trevor and I'm like, you're a little uninvited for me. But that's another story. Daniel Hardiman back on the scene. What did you think about his performance and antics this episode?
Everything. This has been the wrench we've been waiting for for 9 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, 8 weeks, because this is the 9th week.
Right.
That he finally comes in. He finally just, this game of chess that's been Jessica and Daniel Hardiman, probably ever since Daniel Hardiman left.
Right.
We're finally getting to see, like, the final moves.
Right. It's funny, because usually when I see Daniel come back for the firm, I think, oh my God, it's the same old argument. You know, what's the big deal? But when he said it, he was so clear about it today. He was like, you took my firm and I'm taking it back. I always knew that was the narrative, but hearing him say it, I felt a little bad for him finally. Because usually I'm like, you're so annoying, get another job. But anyway, okay, fine, you want to come take the firm. So, and he uses what a couple people refer to as a puppet, Mr. Jack Soloff.
He's doing it so right.
John Piper Ferguson, you did not tell me you were going to be here this whole time. Like, oh my gosh, I was really excited about your performance last week. I thought, okay, he's on their side. He's a good guy again. No. So.
Well, he is, but he is, though. He's been compassionate and relatable up until now. But even then, we know Hardman has dirt on him. We don't know what the dirt is. Right. We know the dirt's hard to find.
It must be that bad, too.
It's got to be that bad if Benjamin can't find it.
Yeah.
if A, Benjamin has to not eat his Egg McMuffin, and B, Benjamin can't find the dirt.
Yeah.
It's got to be some dirt.
It's crazy because in the beginning scene, we saw, you know, them all voting to keep Harvey on suspension or not. And 8-8, you know, Tody ended up being no big deal. Mm-hmm. Harvey stays. And so when Jack came out and did what he did, and then Mike comes to approach him later, I was like, oh my God, this is spiraling back to where it was a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What'd you think about Mike getting involved too?
Well, I feel like I like that Mike got involved as a junior partner, as just as a name in that firm, as a rising star in that firm.
I agree.
Just goes out of his way to say, hey, you. I don't want to be a pawn here.
I agree.
I want to get there on my own. I want to be where I am on my own merit.
Right.
And what you're doing is wrong, too. Because it's Daniel Hardiman. I was here when that happened. I saw where the bodies were buried.
Right.
Like, I just...
That's a good one. It's even when Lewis came to him and said, listen, I know you think he gives a crap about you, but he doesn't. I thought that was a really great scene just to see Lewis actually be that honest and candid and say, like, listen, I got played by this guy, and I'm pretty sure you're about to, too. And the fact that Lewis is the one that found out that Hardiman had something on him, I'm like, okay, then. I like this. So,
and Lewis is the one to say it.
Yes,
Lewis is the one to say, I've been there.
Yep.
He's had dirt on me. He's not to be trusted.
Right. I don't like that he proposed his name being on the wall, though. I thought that was super dramatic.
Well, I think that if that's, like, 100, as a negotiator, you should start at, like, 50. Like, if that's...
Where do you go? Name on the wall.
Where do you go from there?
Why would we do that? Plus, like, what firm has 4... No, I would never work with them. Like, no, too much.
To be fair, there are firms with a lot of names. Like...
More than three?
Oh, there are firms with like six, eight.
That's like so obnoxious.
Because technically speaking, of the 16 people in that room,
yeah,
there's name partners, but then there's just partners. And yeah, sometimes there are like five, six people, and correct me if I'm wrong, in the chat or on Twitter after the fact, that are just, there's five, six, seven people.
You guys have got to let me know about names, that. I did not realize it could be more than three or four.
Like, and then there might be a partner actually running the place day to day whose name isn't on the wall. Like, it's all case by case.
Intertwined. Okay, got you. So what did you think about the way, what did you think about Lewis saying, let's put his name on the wall? What were your thoughts?
That was a little much.
Okay.
It was a little much, but I know it's necessary for what's about to come down.
Right.
Because if you silence Jack, you not only do you flip the vote to 9-8,
mm-hmm,
he could probably take two or three partners with him, and then it's all averted.
Right.
But you would have to silence Jack, and it would have to not look like a silence. It would have to look like she respected his actions.
But how could it not? This is probably the third meeting she's had to be, this is adjourned, or you shut up, or you bastard, or whatever. People shouldn't see, okay, this probably isn't a legit, you know, promotion.
But she... That's fair. If he were to play ball, which we realized it was not him, it was Jessica who wasn't going to play ball with
right.
him.
Right. Love that.
Respect that.
Very much so. I mean, she's not the type that's like, you know what? Yeah, let's pardon them. She's not going to keep doing it for everybody. She did it for Mike. She's did it a little bit for Harvey. She's definitely done it for Lewis. We've got
to
end it.
And
sometime.
It needs to be on that level.
Yeah.
And I don't think Soloff's at that level to her.
Right.
And
exactly.
as a lawyer, as a man, as someone she wants that high up and right. wants to work with every day, I feel like someone like Lewis, who could put his head in his hands and say he's sorry and grow and listen,
right,
she sees that in him and it's like, well, I can work with that.
Right.
Jack, who Hardman can get to with dirt and then he won't know when to back down, yeah, she can't work with that.
And I love that she said that if Daniel has dirt on him, then we need to have it too. That was the smartest way I thought we could figure it out. Unfortunately, we didn't find any, but that I thought was going to be the icing. I was like, great, we'll know what it is. She'll pin it. I can protect you, whatever. I have the same dirt. But like I said, whatever it is, it's got to be really bad. What could it be?
I hinted at what I think it is last week, and I think it's similar to what Lewis did. That, like, Lewis and Soloff are one and the same. They're both grinders.
Sure.
And because they're grinders, but they want to be Harvey. They want to be, I keep saying Windfall,
you want
Jack, Rainmakers.
You think Jack wants to be Harvey?
Yeah, he wants his name on that. Well, who doesn't, like, you can have ambition and still be a grinder.
No,
and
I
then,
know, but
and then
Lewis
question,
like, actually wants to be Harvey. Jack just wants to kill Harvey,
but Jack
I feel
wants,
like.
Jack is a grinder, but wants to be a Rainmaker. And because...
Sure.
And I think what he got, my guess would be he did something that he sees as Harvey-like. Because a lot of times Harvey puts up what in poker's called a table image, but he puts up an image of he's this guy who will do anything because that helps him gets clients, that helps people, like that helps when he bluffs people, when really he has a pretty decent moral compass, but people don't know that. So people like Lewis step out of line to try to be like Harvey.
Right.
People like Jack Soloff step out of line to try to be Windfallers. And people like Daniel Hardman catch them and hold that over their
and
head.
Totally hold that over
hold
their
that over
head.
Their head for the rest of their life.
Oh my gosh,
that's
very
my
true.
That's my subtle prediction on what this dirt is. I also think we're gonna know next week.
Yeah, I think we have to. There's no sympathy left for me as a viewer towards Jack if I don't know what it is. Because there was a time, especially last episode, I definitely had a lot of sympathy for Jack. I was like, okay, I think he's going to turn around and he's not going to let it get to him, whatever it is. And even this episode, when you pointed out that in his eyes, you could tell he didn't want to do what he was doing. And that made me, okay, let's figure out what this is. Let me give him a chance. So anything in the chat right now that people are saying?
A lot of people saying I'm a Daniel Hardman minion. for finally suiting up.
Okay, love it. Doesn't he look like he could be on an episode, you guys? Oh my gosh.
Yes,
I
do,
it.
And that can happen.
Yes. I would like to be a reporter on a Suits episode, so just let me know when I need to do something with Donna.
How the hell does Jessica get into Harvey's apartment all the time? I think she knows how to pick locks.
I think she... How does she get in?
Or, well...
Picks locks, that's too, like...
Well, yeah,
juvenile.
I guess that's too...
like,
I guess it is too...
juvenile for her to be
picking a lock. It's too mechanical... It's too, like, actually get your hands dirty for Jessica. She probably bribes the doorman.
Maybe
it's probably the easy
something,
one.
Something more, yeah, exactly.
Probably
something money.
You slip a doorman $200. He'll open every door in the place.
Exactly.
I don't care where you live.
That's hilarious. Oh my, that's terrible then. Okay, so then we go into, I love how you said there was a lot of badass walking scenes this episode.
Yes,
there were.
Finally.
A lot of these slow walks with great music.
Twice a season, because we get the season in two halves.
Yeah.
We get the badassery and with a good song.
The badassery.
Have you not heard that?
That's a word from us. I love it. Okay, that's very true. It was really good seeing Mike and Harvey do that parallel scene together. That was so good. Mm. And I love, you know, bringing Giannopoulos and Sidwell into the mix to take Hardman down. What do you think? I love seeing Sidwell back. I always love when I see him. Giannopoulos, I don't care about. Well, but
Aaron Korsh, the creator of the show, people always ask him how he decided to make a show about lawyers and suits.
Yeah.
And how did he decide to make a show about this world? And he was like, well, I was just in investment banking for a long time.
Mm.
And, like, these are the kind of people I deal with. And just he went the lawyer way. But when he gets into the financial world, you can tell that these people just follow the money.
It's authentic, yes. It's very, like, even for Sidwell, thank God Harvey wasn't the one that went in. No, thank God Mike didn't go to Sidwell's office. They knew what they were doing. But that's what I thought at first when the pan came up. I was like,
make sure. It was like, oh, no, this is the correct pairing.
Exactly.
Because just the opposite pairing
terrible. Oh, my gosh. Like, Giannopoulos hates Harvey.
That said, if there were enough money. Giannopoulos would work with Harvey because that's his job. That's both their jobs.
But Sidwell, there was another case. Was it last season or was it earlier this season? No, it had to be last season. And there was a lot of money on the table and he threw it in Mike's face. He did not care. So that's
all that means there wasn't enough money.
It just wasn't. So it was just a lot to me.
Speaking as a longtime wrestling fan, everyone has a price.
I can see that. Okay. So I love that these two came back. Also, we got to see Charles Forsman, who, you know, if we talk about, like, my line of, not hate, because I don't hate any of the characters, but, like, my sadness and piss-offness. Forsman is, like, one of the top. Travis is a little bit above Forsman. Hardman is right under them.
Hardman's under them?
Oh, yeah, I hate Travis a lot.
Okay.
I really don't like Travis. So maybe Travis, Hardman, Forsman. So much going on.
You're rearranging this list as
Sidwell. I don't hate Sidwell. I mean, I get why he's mad. Okay, we'll figure out if there's other characters.
But you'll tweet your list
those
later.
Those three are definitely on the list. So anyway, we see Forsman come back, and his bottom line is, I just hate Harvey. I don't care what happens to this deal. I don't really care if Hardman is in it or not. I don't care where the money is going. I just want you to quit your job. What did you think about that?
That's a fair motivation, because he's got enough money that he's in a nice prison.
Yeah,
like, literally, before they panned down, we were watching.
I was like, this can't be a prison.
Well, before they panned down, but like the scene before, I was like, oh, that's where he's going.
Yeah.
It's got to be where he's going.
Yeah,
and then I was like, that looks like a blue collar prison. It's definitely a blue collar prison. And then we see them, and they're all literally wearing blue collars. Or, I mean, white collar prison.
Right.
So, never mind.
It's so different. Well, yeah, you're
that's
right.
It's completely
very
different.
Rich. Yeah,
it's,
right.
A prison,
it's a
white collar prison, but blue collar is.
Is what they're.
You should let these prisoners wear white collars.
If they
that's
did,
where they are.
That would just be way too intentional. I'd be like, okay, I can't handle that.
But he's shooting pool, watching CNN.
Seriously.
10,000 a game. Like,
piss me off.
Like, he did hurt him by taking his, like, freedom away. Harvey did.
He's still got money in the bank.
And Daniel Hartman has right of attorney over that money. And all he wants is to just hurt Harvey. Because think about it, this guy got away with just about everything until Harvey Specter. And then not even right away. Like, it took Harvey Specter decades.
Yeah.
But Harvey Specter eventually took him down.
And it's Hardman is just, like, this is where I say that he's very pathetic. Like, not, you know, I get it. Like, but the thing, I feel like Hardman never owned up to what he did to lose his firm in the beginning. The reason they could go after you is because you cheated on your wife, who was sick.
Mm.
You stole from people. Like, did anyone forget that or something? Mm. I mean, what is wrong with you? So when he comes back and he's like, you know, I want to take my firm back. It's like, dude, we still have so much on you that we never revealed. Like, get away. Like, I just don't get why he's so bold. And for him to work with Forsman, I was like, oh, this is just, I don't know. I get nervous.
But the key to good acting and good writing is if Daniel Hartman were in this room right now.
Oh, my God. You're scaring me just thinking about it. Like, I was like, oh, my God.
He could give you a logical explanation from his point of view.
Okay.
On every one of those points.
I need him to be. I would not mind him in the studio. He's definitely going to have to sit by you. But I don't mind him in the studio because I would love to hear from him. And him as an actor and him getting into this character because he plays it well. I mean, I hate you, so you know, it's great.
That's
in a good way, like an 11 year old awesome person.
It's good. John Piper Ferguson came in before you started to hate his character.
I feel like I would have been a little meaner. But anyway, so let's see. I know there's a couple other firm talks, but I definitely want to jump into all the Rachel and Mike.
Oh, the Rachel
jumble.
Mike. Okay. Well, it starts last week.
Yeah. So we see that there was a little creeping in, and Claire, ex-girlfriend Claire, comes back and says, if you love her, you won't marry her. And that was the last line of the episode. And I held my heart so, and I tweeted you guys, yeah. And I just couldn't believe how good it is, how good it was, and how it's been continuing. I don't know, before the scene opened, what did you think would have happened? Do you think Mike was going to tell Rachel about what Claire said earlier? What did
No.
you think? Okay.
I kind of saw this happening exactly how it went down, which was, I just love you and none of this is going to be a problem.
Yeah, they're really good at bearing stuff. Not that they don't mean to, but they're kind of hopeless romantics. And you made a really funny comment while we were watching that you thought about them. So we'll tweet it to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember it now. What are we?
No, you said you wouldn't say it in public, so I don't want to like.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so we see that Rachel and Mike have a beautiful moment in the beginning, and he's just being appreciative and loves her and whatever the case is. And then you see later on that Rachel has to deal with her mom, and talks a little bit about the wedding and starts with the announcement. That made me sad, and I thought they would break up by the end of the episode for some strange reason. I wasn't sure what was going to happen.
It was all bad.
Yeah.
Like from go, where it's like, oh, we're gonna put an announcement in the New York Times.
Oh my gosh.
Where did he go to undergrad? What are all these questions he's successfully evaded this entire time?
Seriously.
We need to put them in the New York Times.
Oh my gosh. I was like, dang it. I forgot that there was so much more. Like, I forgot. Like, I've been worrying about the dad this whole time. Forgot the mom is going to still have questions, too. I was like, okay, they can't win almost. Like, and I love Rachel and her mom's relationship. So that's why the whole time I was like, this is definitely eating up Rachel, and I'm not sure how she's going to react, especially when she told Donna she was going to tell her mom. Ugh, no. What did you think?
I think telling her mom would, similar to Claire telling Mike.
Yeah.
If you love her, you won't marry her.
Right.
Donna had to tell Rachel, if you love your mother, you will not tell her about Mike.
Yeah.
Because that's a secret she will literally have to take to the retirement home, if not the grave.
Yeah.
Or until someone blows up Mike's spot. Because that's got to be I talked about this last week. That's the end of this series. when somebody blows up Mike's spot and he either has to like flee the country, flee the country or resign before it gets too big.
And even like, it makes me sad because Trevor alluded that to today. He said, if you the more you do this, the less the food tastes good, the money, this, that, even though Mike's never been about the money or the food or whatever the hell he was talking about. But I just, hearing Trevor say that, especially coming from Trevor, I was like,
the idea of living a lie, and I think
for that long.
But that's how cool this Mike character is. Yeah. That every morning he comes to terms with the fact that he's living a lie.
Yeah.
Takes a deep breath and goes
and lives a lie.
If I'm gonna live this lie, I'm gonna do as much good as I possibly can.
Yeah, agreed.
And that's why we love this character.
And that's why you're so hot. I mean, so great at your job. Okay, anyway.
I thought you were talking about me. This wonderful suit.
The suit is dapper. The suit is definitely dapper. So then we get into Rachel. Donna has to give her advice. And then we go back to Rachel talking with her mom. And now it's about the wedding party. The wedding guest and the size and the people she's inviting.
So what's the dean of...
Lord
the
have
dean
mercy.
Of Harvard, y'all. Yeah, the dean of Harvard,
yeah.
Harvard Law.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, this is a bougie wedding. Like, I love
it's
y'all.
It's the Zane wedding.
It's a Zane wedding.
Of course,
you're right.
It's a bougie
I
wedding.
I was like, this is a lot. I don't care if I even went to Harvard. Why does the dean? Unless the dean and Maya are like still close, which I guess you would be. But then we see Rachel kind of freak out on her mom and to avoid the mic conversation. And how do you think she handled that? Was that the way to go? While we were watching, we were kind of
we were chiming in on that one. Well, the way the scene went, there was the initial Rachel taking Donna's advice.
Right.
Which is, I'm going to just try to tell my mom I have a problem that isn't my actual problem.
Right.
And then she kind of does that fess-up turn.
Yeah.
And I think we both cringed there because we were like, you're not going to tell her. You were not going to tell your mom right now.
Or like at least, even the alluding was annoying. I was like, stop.
She was like, you're right, this isn't about the guest list.
Right.
And I'm like, girl, if you tell your mom... about Mike Ross.
Like, I'm
before
done
with you're you.
Married. Oh my god!
Don't you? And then, but then she did a good diversion, a straw man, if you will,
yeah.
that we saw used a couple times in this episode.
Yeah,
that she was like, no, it's about us.
Yeah,
and it's about you not even asking, and you trying to throw a big wedding that I don't want, and blah 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 blah, which was just lying through her teeth.
Exactly.
And that's something a mother knows you're doing.
Yeah, I know. And that was a cool, like I said, like I love Rachel and her mom's relationship, and I'm glad that it's been established before this, because we just kind of knew that Rachel's mom wasn't buying it, and I really knew it when she pulled Mike aside, and that scene was amazing slash really annoying, because I was like, damn it, Mike is an amazing guy and they're amazing together, and she's never gonna really know that, you know, she's just gonna see this version of it,
but she's still gonna know that she doesn't know the depths of this awesomeness.
Yes, exactly.
But she still knows, no, this guy's amazing.
Yeah,
even in the sense of, yeah, I had a small family.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to do this for her.
Yeah.
Or this is the one thing I asked of her.
Yeah.
And as mothers do, she knew exactly what Rachel wanted for a wedding.
Yeah.
She just couldn't give it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth that a mother would or wouldn't know.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Did you agree with the way that Mike went to Rachel and said that,
yes.
you know, you should have told me, and this is strong-arming, and you made me... Oh,
the second all that...
To heart,
the second
to
all that happened, I kind of wanted to just be Dr. Phil to both of them. I'm like, okay.
Sit down, folks.
Sit down? You guys
this
need to communicate.
Why.
Sorry. You just need to communicate naturally.
Oh, my God, you're really doing it. Oh, my God, I just had a moment.
You just had a moment where you
are, I
you
just realized you were really doing Dr. Phil. Can you do it again?
I don't have much to say as Dr. Phil, but I have a little bit. It's a very hint of a southern accent, but we're getting off topic.
Oh my god, that was
But essentially they need to communicate
yeah,
with each
for
other.
Sure.
And that's all this was. So you were like, "Oh my god, they're going to break up. Oh, this is
yeah.
and they're like, "No, this is a bump in the road. All couples go through bumps in
yeah.
the road. They just don't have one of them being a fraud."
Yeah.
And that's the cause of the bump.
Yeah.
But this bump is no different from I want red velvet and you want name yellow. I don't
definitely go for red velvet anyway.
I don't, neither of those are wedding cake flavors. I'm pretty sure
red velvet is totally a wedding cake.
Is that a wedding
yeah,
cake flavor?
It's
I haven't been to enough weddings. Get married and invite
not?
Me.
Okay, I will. I promise. The Harvard person will not be there, but anyway, you're right about communication, because I think Mike should have said, I want to go see Claire, and mm-hmm. Rachel should have said, I've been trying to protect you, because, and then more of Rachel, because her protecting definitely is leaving him out in the dust. Like, he has no idea what's going on, and that was a really weird scene for me to see, because I didn't know, I mean, thank God Mike handled it well,
mm-hmm.
and he'll take the blame for her no matter what, but I don't know, I kind of was thinking he would say something maybe along the lines of, you know, it is something we both agreed on, or whatever, but I guess the mom knew the truth. The mom knew the truth. So Mike, the way he went,
the mom knew
the
truth.
Exactly. She knows,
which isn't a lie.
It's a lie.
The stem of the truth in his lie was that he doesn't have much family, and he probably is really uncomfortable in front of 300 people.
Probably.
But if he didn't,
not for Rachel though.
There's that. And that's what the mom was trying to plead to.
Yeah.
That is, like, if that's all this is, you're being selfish, and
yeah.
I need to tell you you're being selfish.
Right, right. Ugh.
And he really wanted to tell her, I'm not being selfish.
I really...
There's a lot.
There's, like, we've been biting for a while. Yeah, like,
there's
we've
a, lot
a lot
here. I think they're going to elope.
You think so?
I think they're going to elope. The pressure's too hard. And a couple people in the chat have been talking about how Robert Zane has to be, like, cool with a bunch of Harvard people.
And so gonna invite them anyway.
Or just, like, on the golf course, oh, who's your daughter marrying? Oh, he's Mike Ross at Pierce Inspector Lit. Who?
Oh,
there's a senior partner, Mike Ross, at Pierce Inspector Lit?
That we don't know about?
We don't know him.
Wait, junior partner.
Sorry, junior partner. But, like...
Because I'm like, please don't put any more pressure on Mike. Like...
Oh my god, everything.
No, seriously.
But
oh
like that's,
my god, I didn't even think about that.
That's bound to hit the fan, so at least if they're already married, it kind of becomes it kind of becomes Robert Zane's secret.
Right, right, right. How?
Or Mike has to just tell Robert Zane.
Yeah.
And then they can tell the mom, and then...
I mean,
then they can
it's
have,
not going to stop them from being, like, divorced or annulment. I mean, they don't care. Marriage is a beautiful thing, and I take it seriously, and I think that I try to believe people do, too, but... I also know that people don't mind divorcing, so I feel like...
Not these two.
Okay. Okay, I can see that.
Mike and Rachel love each other.
You're right. I mean, the parents going crazy on them.
Oh, the parents are going to go. These parents should never know. Yeah. That's why they should have just eloped.
Yeah, exactly.
And not told anyone, not tried to plan a wedding.
Right, right, right.
They should have literally eloped and then showed up and like, hey, we got married.
I can totally.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Here's the DVD. It's a YouTube link. You can send actually, don't send it to everyone. Do not. You can send it to about 20 people.
Here's the Vimeo password. Like, don't send
that. Password is Mike is totally a lawyer. That's the password.
I am dying. This is great. Okay, so that was amazing. I just want to say my quote of the week. I have two. One, this was super sad when Mike and Rachel had their conversation, and she said, "You are the one taking away my dream wedding." Can we have a moment of silence for that? That was tough.
Quick moment of silence for that, but she didn't mean that.
She didn't.
What she meant is your situation is taking my dream wedding away. But he's not personally...
No, of course. But still, like, I didn't know how he was going to react. I was very proud of the way he reacted, but I thought it was going to be like, oh, is that what you mean? Or is that blah, blah, blah? I mean, actually, he did kind of react like that because he was like, are you having second thoughts? And she was like, what the crap?
These aren't second thoughts. Yeah, this is just...
This is what we're dealing with.
It's more logistical than most bumps.
Right.
Most bumps that engaged couples go through.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
It's a bump nonetheless.
Yeah. My other really favorite quote was Harvey saying, I need to go see a guy about a thing.
That was cool.
What the hell are you talking about? Like, talks in code.
But you missed. This is your come to Jesus moment, and you're looking at her. That was my favorite quote.
Oh my gosh, the way she handled Jack at the end. So good. You're squinting. That means somebody said something in the chat.
Somebody said, me too, Rachel should be with the tech guy. He has a simple life. Egg McMuffins, he's a catch.
Oh.
I'm not denying Benjamin is a catch.
Yeah, but
I'd knock her Rachel.
Super hot.
Beyond Mike's looks, he's an amazing person.
Okay, I'm summing up everything in hotness. Like,
fair enough.
I think he is a wonderful lawyer. I think his laugh is great. I don't love his hair, but I'm willing to bypass it. So
that's Harry Balzac, a long time chatter amongst us. He said that we disagree, but
even though I appreciate you, no, I don't want them to be together. So okay, we're reeling in towards the end.
I already kind of made a prediction. I think are we there?
I think we're there. I mean, my last comment was Jack and Jessica go toe-to-toe. Who do you think's going to take the cake? Because at the end, he basically said, you put up a vote and I'll put up a vote. And let's see who's still here. And I'm looking at Jack like, excuse me, do you even have that right? But apparently he does. So
he does. That plays into predictions.
Okay, let's jump into predictions then.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
All right.
Okay.
I just had this flash.
Okay.
They end the season, or they end this half of the season tomorrow.
Okay.
And then typically on these in-betweens, there's no time. There's no time in between the break, like within the show. So like whatever happens at the end of next week, we'll rejoin them right about there.
Mm-hmm.
At least like within that day.
Agreed.
In January when we're back here to cover the show.
Okay.
So whatever happens should fit under that time frame.
Well,
so
the nighttime when they were talking last.
Well, it can be the next morning, day, but like it's not like a month or two passes.
Right.
There's going to be a vote. Yeah. There's 16 people.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them have their name on the door and are on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's Jack. One of them's Jack Soloff, and seven of them we don't actually know, but are against those three.
Do we think that? Oh, yeah, okay, you're right.
Because it's 8-8.
8-8, you're right.
It's 8-8, and it's going to come to a vote.
Yeah.
And Jack Soloff is going to try his best to flip as many of those other six. To get their names, to get Jessica out of being acting partner, get Daniel Hartman in there with his billion dollar clients, where he's backed by Travis.
Yeah.
And as it stands right now, there's nothing stopping him.
I can see it not even getting to the vote. Like, I can see there being, you know, picking up just where we left off today you know, us continuing, us having a conversation between Jessica and Harvey, probably Lewis, you know, figuring out something. And so much fighting in between that maybe the next vote doesn't happen until the next day and we don't even get there. Like, I have a feeling that you don't think that we...
No, this needs to come down.
We need to
there
see the
needs
vote?
To be the vote or the conclusion to the... Or the conclusion that the vote could or could not be. They need to be in that boardroom by the end of next week.
Well, okay, but that's not... I feel like if they are... It'll be a moot point. Like, somebody would have done something to be like,
okay, it's all,
you know, it's all like,
I could see that.
That's, I want to see a way for Jessica to strong arm, you know, and a decent way. Of course, she wants them on her team still, but figure out a way for her. Let's not even have to vote. That's kind of,
well, that would be just like not go to court. Like, that's the whole job.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I also think if they really wanted, this is a long shot. But Mike and Rachel go away to elope the end of next episode. It's a long shot. I'm saying it's a long shot. I'm also saying...
It's not bad, though. I kind of like it.
I'm also saying that's the only way they actually get married.
Real, like, you... That's not a long shot, the last part of that? You think that's,
no,
for sure?
No, them eloping's the long shot. Okay. I'm saying that's the only way they actually
they
get married.
They should
do it. They're not going to have a public wedding. They can't.
They really can't.
They really can't. They can't let the Zanes into that world. Also, hashtag therapist no.
Agreed.
And
100%.
And if hashtag therapist yes happens next week, I will be purchasing the cake. I've already priced it.
That is so funny.
I've sent Lauren the link. But next week we will be having cake. And I guess I'm going to have them write both and then just take one off.
See what happens.
Take one off. But we'll have cake next week.
I will be ready for that. Okay. I guess... You hit on some great predictions. I do not know if they're going to get married next episode, but I like that a lot. If they do, I'm down. If they don't, I won't be too sad. I think Hardman is going to get his ass kicked, and I hope he does. I just haven't figured out how, and I'll tweet it to you if I do. Trevor coming back. Can that happen again? Because I kind of liked it.
He seems in play right now.
Yeah, I like that. And Jack Soloff may or may not be done after next episode.
Ooh.
I think he's done. I think he's personally done, but... With the way things are going,
that's a fair prediction.
Yeah,
for a lot of reasons.
I think he's done. So, with that said, thank you guys so much for joining us for another amazing episode. We missed our two favorites, Lauren and Nicole, but I think they'll be here next week. If not, we'll be eating cake by ourselves. Make sure you tweet us throughout the week. I'm Stacey Ike, so tweet me at One Take Stace during the show. I'm not during the show, during the week, and I'll see you at the show next week. And Steve, where can they find you?
And I'm at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUFMANN. This suit is courtesy of snapsuits.com. It is called the Garcon.
Nice. Oh, my God. I got to dress up next week. But until then, see you guys soon.
Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.